Hi there, and welcome to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe Jackowitz is the president of First Love Ministries and pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. With him are Rich Hormerez and Bobby Hamlin, meeting up for conversation of eternal importance. Join us, won't you, for Bible Talk.
Well, it's so nice having you join us as we gather together, visiting around God's Word, the Bible, on Bible Talk. Hi, this is Rich Hormerez.
And I'm Bobby Hamlin. Now, as always, we're so happy to be here and to have you sitting in on our conversation with Pastor Joe as we take this break in our day or evening to again get some spiritual food as we talk about the Bible and how it speaks to us, guiding our daily lives. As I said, we're here with Pastor Joe. Hi, Pastor Joe.
Hi, Bobby. Hi, Rich. Good to be with you today.
Now, today we're looking at the topic, how to survive in evil times, and what the Bible has to say about that subject.
Yes, it's such an important subject that's on the minds of many people, and it's of deep concern, particularly in this day and age, with all that's been happening in our country and throughout the world. Now, this is a topic you've been preaching on, Pastor Joe, so we'd love to hear your thoughts on this. The two key words here are evil and survive. First of all, what exactly do you mean by evil? What would characterize evil times as opposed to just hard times?
Well, evil would be anything that is against God or is against his law or is not from God. So that would be evil. The Bible teaches that the whole world dwells in wickedness or evil. And we're taught by our Lord Jesus Christ that we will always be surrounded by evil in the world. He says, in the world, you will have tribulation. And he says, the world will hate you. And everything the world represents, directly or indirectly, is evil because it rebels against God and it desires to cast off God's law, God's truth, God's will. And so in that sense, the world is evil. It is anti-God. It is against God. It pursues wickedness or those things which are sinful to do, which are against God's word and God himself. And so that would be the longer definition of evil. Survival, on the other hand, is something we are required to do as Christians. We're to overcome the world by the grace of God. Jesus said that you have overcome the world through him and through the sanctifying power that he provides for his people. And so once the Christian life begins, once we become saved and converted and we are born from above, that becomes the survival period for the rest of our lives in overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil, especially when we consider that the day and age in which we live in 2021 is very, very evil, and evil is accelerating. It's growing on a level and at a pace that we've really never seen before in the last 250 years. So we need to survive. We need to overcome. We need to employ whatever legitimate and biblical means God has given us as Christians to survive the pressures, the temptations, and the growing and accelerating worldly attractions and distractions and delusions that the Bible predicts will take place just before Jesus comes again.
Yes, because I was just going to ask you about, so the world always is evil, but it probably reaches different levels of evil at different times. Throughout history, there have always been periods of violence and wickedness with wars and man's inhumanity toward man. So in this day and age, let's talk about now. How evil is it now? Can you talk about what makes this period that we're living in so extreme, or is it more extreme than other periods in history?
Well, it is worse than what we've seen in the last 60 to 70 years in particular. But even going back an additional 175 years to the beginning of our country, there's no question that the level of evil and wickedness is greater in this generation now than ever before in the history of the United States. You are correct in the sense that there has always been evil to some smaller or greater degree, mostly greater.
Mm-hmm.
And the signs of the times have always been there in some smaller form, but they wouldn't be signs if they don't increase at some point, both in intensity and in frequency, so that you have something to compare to. The signs of the times have always been there, as you suggested, the earthquakes and the wars and rumors of wars, pestilences, starvation, all of these things have always been there since the beginning of the world. But in the generation that exists just prior to the second coming of Christ, we're told by our Lord Jesus in the Gospels and by the Apostle Paul in his prophetic passages, in his epistles, that the signs of the times will increase dramatically, both in intensity and in frequency, so that when we compare those signs in the end times generation to all the previous other generations going back to the beginning of the world, believers will be able to see a big difference. And as we're told in Paul's epistles, that we will not be ignorant of the times and the seasons of his coming, because, as I just said, we'll be able to compare the level of intensity and pervasiveness of the signs and the frequency of them compared to the history of the world and the signs that occurred back then. And it used to be, when I became a Christian about 45 years ago, you would hear of a huge earthquake every couple of years or every few years, or a pestilence or something. It would not occur that often, and people would get stirred up and awakened. But now it seems like all of the signs individually that Jesus enumerated and that the Apostle Paul explains, including delusion and a worldwide deception, they're taking place almost on a daily basis, all of the signs, many times throughout the day. Some of them just maybe every few days or every other day, and others just once a day, but they're happening, and it's causing a rising level of fear on the part of everybody throughout the world, except, of course, believers who have God's peace controlling them. And that fear was predicted to grow, the fear of God and also sinful fear, because of the growing signs and what people see is on the horizon, the greater and greater judgments leading up to the second coming. It says men's hearts will fail them for fear of the things that are coming on the earth. So I believe that everything I've experienced in my life as a believer has been in preparation for this particular moment. All my experience, my knowledge, my understanding of who God is, not just because I'm a pastor, but any one of you listening as a believer, this is the time not for us to be shy or timid, but to use all of the knowledge and experience and grace God gives us to reach out and to minister to people with the gospel, the plan of salvation, as well as with comforting and consoling promises from God's word in directing people to Jesus Christ and to exercise faith in him. And so today in particular, many people are so battle fatigued and weary of what took place in 2020, including the rampaging violence and the lawlessness in the streets, government overreach and oppression, and economic problems. But on the other hand, the spike in violence and moral disintegration of our culture really is growing on an unprecedented level. When we talk about disintegration morally, we're talking about the total rejection of established laws and institutions, the anarchy, the terrorism, the total and absolute destructiveness of culture and the time-honored beliefs of moral values, especially toward the world at large. And so there's also an extreme form of growing skepticism, the denial of all real existence or the possibility of an objective basis for truth. All of the axioms and moral principles that the civilizations of the world and nations and cultures have embraced as assumptions from the beginning of history are now being revised, reexamined, overturned, and changed on a level that the world has never seen. And that's very scary, especially for those of us who are concerned about peace and society and being able to live at peace with everybody. And so the forces of evil are being released on a level where they're tearing down the very moral and social structures of society. And they actually blame these structures for the lack of meaning and fulfillment of people's lives.
Pastor Joe, I'd like to back up just a little bit. In John 16, verse 33, Jesus warns and assures his followers by saying, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Now, is this tribulation just part of living in the world as a believer, or is it something different because of what you've just described?
I think it's both. I think that tribulation is normal for the believer, and the Lord says that all that shall live godly lives in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I think that in this world, Jesus says, you will have tribulation. And so suffering and persecution, tribulation are normal for the Christian and the Christian life of Christianity of every generation. Believers of every epoch and time period are going to suffer. That comes with the territory, and it's because of who they are as Christians. Suffering, tribulation, persecution is endemic to the Christian life. But at the same time, we're told that suffering and persecution against the church will increase dramatically. And some of the prophetic texts are very clear, like 2 Timothy 4:3-4, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." The Apostle Paul is referring to a time in the future where he describes in 2 Thessalonians that unless there be the falling away that will come first, the end will not come. So there will be this falling away, this apostasia, which is the Greek word where we get the English word apostasy, this wholesale, worldwide, massive, unbiblical proportions, removal of the restraints against sin in the world, so that there will be a flood, a tsunami of wickedness and evil and immorality that will become so inherent and part of the cultures of the world and the nations of the world, so that we'll see a backlash against Christians as believers insist upon upholding moral values and moral relations and ethical practices in our relationship with one another. The world will have a greater hatred and loathing and rage against believers and against the church, against the Bible, against Christ and his teachings than they ever have before. As we read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, "I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ," we learn that we are to preach the word, be ready and in season and out of season. The Lord tells us to be watchful in all things, to endure afflictions. And so there will be faithful believers who will follow these charges and commands to stand up and to be faithful. So I've never seen things this bad. I've never heard more discussion about the second coming of Christ since I've been a Christian. I've never seen more fear and anxiety and uncertainty in the world. I've never seen the signs of the time increasing as rapidly as they are now in this day and age, as I mentioned before. And like I said, there's never been a more intense awareness of the second coming than there has been today. It's amazing. And as I said, God is working. He's using it. God is not on the sidelines wringing his hands, hoping things will get better, and therefore he has to reluctantly put plan B into operation. No, God is doing all these things himself. He's allowing these things to happen, even using evil and sin and wickedness and evil behavior on the part of governments and upon citizens for his own purposes. As we read in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 6, "And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
You're listening to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Now, perhaps you have a question you would like to ask. You can do just that by simply emailing us at firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. You can also send in your request to First Love Radio, P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. Or simply go to the Contact Us section on our webpage and ask your question there. And be sure, when you contact us, to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. We'll repeat this contact information at the end of our program. For now, let's rejoin Rich, Bobby, and their talk with Pastor Joe.
In Matthew 24, verse 33, Jesus said, "So you," speaking to believers, to his children, "so you also, when you see all these things, signs of his second coming, know that it is near at the doors." So do you feel, Pastor Joe, like we're in that period close to when the Lord will return?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's no question. Not only because I've been around for almost half a century as a Christian in the end times generation, and I've been able to see a lightning free fall of the world to such a level, a low level of wickedness, such a tremendous fall from any kind of decency and being able to live together in peace. There's no question in my mind, but also as a student of history, I see this decline as well. We are in that level. Now, yes, God destroyed the world once before by a flood towards the beginning of the world after maybe 1,200-1,500 years of earth history. The level of wickedness and immorality rose to such a level where God says that even the thought of the intent of man's heart is only evil continually. He regretted that he made man, and he destroyed the earth by a flood, saving eight souls, Noah and his immediate family, on the ark and repopulating the earth again. But just before the second coming, the level of evil and sin will grow to a similar level as the wickedness we saw at the beginning of the world. And then God will destroy the world a second time by fire this time, and then the judgment will come. You know, so yeah, the answer to your question is, when you see the moral decay and degeneracy and sexual perversion abound on every front in every way where we've never seen it before, I would say yes. For example, now we have the legalization of homosexual marriage. Drug use is being legalized. Cohabitation instead of marriage has been a socially acceptable thing now for about 25 years. Most companies, as well as the state and federal governments, are offering health insurance to cover non-married partners. 53 million babies have been murdered in the womb since 1973. I could go on and on. You know, single-parent homes are now overtaking homes where both parents are raising the children. And so the moral bankruptcy of society has had its effect not only on lifestyles, but on science, where many scientists have thrown caution to the wind and are brazenly treading where no man has gone before in attempting to play God through genetic engineering and attempting to clone animals and people through also infant stem cell research and through euthanasia. But I think the most telling and heart-wrenching of all the signs, where there's no doubt we're in the end times, Rich, in answer to your question, is the silencing of the church and the apostasy of the church.
Now, before we go on to talk about survival, we should probably talk about, just for a moment, you always say that we're right at the door of the second coming, but being right at the door could be tomorrow, or could it be in 50 years? Because we know that, you know, our time is like the blink of an eye to the Lord. So are you saying that we're right there, but it's in terms of eternity? In fact, for each one of us, if we have a disease or an accident, for us, we'll be meeting God tomorrow. So is this true that we're not saying what the period of time will be, but it is towards the end of times as far as eternity is concerned?
Well, there's two statements in the New Testament that give us a clue how close we are to the end. The first one is that when you begin to see these things happen, Jesus says, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. Okay, so we know we'll be near to the end when we begin to see these vastly accelerated signs of the times compared to previous generations going back to the beginning. The other verse is where the Apostle Paul says, for I have written to you, brethren, that you should not be ignorant of his coming, of his signs. And so believers would not be left in total ignorance of the generation, the time period that precedes the second coming. And so we will not know the exact moment, the day. That's clear. Jesus said, no man knows the day nor the hour of his coming. But I don't believe it's going to be 100 or 200 years from now, because the Lord says that this generation shall not pass until all these things are filled. And that refers to the generation in which Jesus was alive in 70 AD on a historical level, in the generation that Jesus was living. All of these tribulations and intense signs of the times were fulfilled on a local level there in and around Palestine. And there were other signs Jesus described in Matthew, for example, and in Mark, where he says in Mark 13:13, he who endures to the end shall be saved. Now, there are two time periods identified in the prophetic passages in Mark 13, Matthew 24, and Luke 21. In verses 3 through 13 in Mark chapter 13, we learn of signs that precede both 70 AD as well as signs preceding the second coming of Christ. Luke's version compares them as well. He compares 70 AD and the signs leading up to the destruction of Jerusalem with the signs leading up to the second coming of Christ at the end of the world. And these signs are somewhat different in nature as you apply them to these two time periods. In 70 AD, God says to the people living at that time, he says, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that desolation is near. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart. And he says, these are the days of vengeance, that all things that are written may be fulfilled. God was talking about a period of time when the Jewish nation and believers who are alive in 70 AD will suffer a so great persecution and level of tribulation and individual suffering that has never been experienced before. And that is true. When you read the historian Josephus, who was an eyewitness of that time period, which is still within the 40 to 50 year time period that Jesus was alive, because Jesus said, this generation shall not pass until all these things are fulfilled. So 70 AD is about 37, 36 years later after Jesus died and rose again. So it's still within the 40, 50 year period of what we define as the generation. And so the level of tribulation would be more local, and it would cover all of Palestine and the surrounding region. It would include what we call the diaspora, or the dispersion and scattering of the Jews as well as believers in Christ throughout the whole Mediterranean world, even into Asia and Africa, where many Christian missionaries went to serve for the rest of their lives after the Great Tribulation of 70 AD. But then there's the second time period that these three Gospels passages describe, where it talks about the second great period of tribulation, which is at the end of the world and the second coming, where Jesus says, for example, in Luke 21, there'll be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. So this is talking about the signs on a worldwide scale, signs in the weather, signs in the nations, signs of tribulation, wars, rumors of wars, and so forth. So even though we don't know the specific moment, we have many descriptive passages in the New Testament that say, okay, if you're within a generation of so, when these things are happening towards the end of the world, Jesus is going to come within that period of time. So to answer your question specifically, we don't know when Christ is going to come, whether it be in the next few moments or in the next 40, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. But we do know we are in that period of time when Jesus will come.
Interesting conversation around provoking questions and answers to help us search the scriptures and grow in our walk with Christ. Here on Bible Talk with Pastor Joe Jackowitz. Now, we all need to be grounded in the faith in order to have a firm foundation. Knowing what we believe and why we believe it enables us to share God's truth with those who need Jesus. Author Robert Jones has put together a book entitled Questions and Answers for the Seeking Soul. We're offering it free for the asking. This book will point you to God's Word through a collection of topics with questions and answers to reflect on. It can help you to both establish answers to any spiritual issues for yourself and to share your faith with others. You can read it straight through or in parts as a reference guide to help seek the answers to questions that arise in your search through the Scriptures. To request your copy of the book, Questions and Answers for the Seeking Soul, absolutely free without any obligations, and that includes shipping, simply request it by email at firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org, or by going to our website at firstloveradio.org and click on the Contact Us button at the top of the page. And then for those of you who feel more comfortable writing to request your copy, our mailing address is First Love Radio, P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. Also, if you would like to ask questions of Pastor Joe or share your comments, again, our email address is firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. Or simply go to our Contact Us section on our website at firstloveradio.org to ask your question. Leave a comment or to order your free book, Questions and Answers for the Seeking Soul. Again, we're delighted to have you join us today. We encourage you to come back again next time and invite a friend to listen to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe.